And welcome to the Scoop Podcast. I'm editor of the Scoop, Margie Eckelkamp. Today, we are having a conversation with Kyle Meese. He is agronomy manager at United Prairie, headquartered out of Tolono, Illinois. Kyle, welcome to the podcast.
Margie, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to doing it here.
So you have had an interesting trajectory there at United Prairie. You joined as an applicator, correct? And kind of continued to take on additional responsibilities with agronomy. So just tell us a little bit about your trajectory of your career there at United Prairie.
Yeah, it was one of those deals when I graduated from college in 2006. It was, you know, came from a farming background, corn and soybean farm here in central Illinois, but just not enough acreage to support what was going to be, you know, myself, my wife, my family, my brother, his wife, his family, and then my father and mother as well. So just kind of thought, what else can I be doing? What should I be doing? And I could still stay connected to farm, have the opportunity to go back and help my dad, but also just connect and help other growers. So United Prairie was an internship that I'd done a short period of time in college, local fertilizer plant that my family's worked with for years. And so I jumped on with them, and it's kind of, it was a little bit of a different stair step pattern than what they were traditionally used to seeing, because I wanted to be in sales, but I also wanted the experience to run a machine and just get that level of comfort and knowledge. And for me, looking back now, just the level of respect that I have for a whole team. So I ran a machine for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. I say that I still run a machine on days when we need to this point in time, but jumped into sales till about 2010, decided to leave the company, thought I wanted to go to the corporate side of things, did not like the corporate side of things, was doing great at it, but wanted to come back and really just wanted to be local. So continued to open up a new facility for United Prairie as a whole. And about 3 years ago, our agronomy manager retired, and they offered me this position. So now doing it, and you can imagine having 16, 17 years in the business, it's pretty tough for customers, you know, when you have those kind of relationships to see change. So there's still a number of guys I work with on an everyday basis from a customer standpoint, but transitioning out of that more and more.
Yeah. So, okay, in the last 17 years, what would you say is the biggest change of how you guys are doing application in the field today versus when you started at the co-op?
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny when you run those machines and then being that I farm myself to this day, I think the common answer you hear everybody say is technology. You know, technology is, it's always the biggest thing. What's even more advanced than that, and I honestly struggle with on a day-to-day basis, is that I feel like as an industry, our minds are far outthinking the capability of our technology. So, you know, what I mean by that is, you know, I have some ideas that run through my head that I think we can implement, but the machine power to do it on a instantaneous basis is not always there. It's becoming more and more common as we look at, you know, our planters and variable rate drives, electric drives, and instantaneously changing population. But when we look to fertility applications and understanding what's going on in our soil profile, I mean, we're still trying to micromanage that and figure out how we can micromanage that. So it's a massive focus of mine going forward as I'm, you know, we're implementing drones into our system now, and see and spray sprayers and just cameras that can monitor the crop canopy and keep our guys running straight in between the rows. It's just continuous.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that application technology. How are you guys using drones? And also, as a follow-up, what experience have you had with selective spraying?
So the drones in general was something I jumped into last year. You see in East Central Illinois, we saw a little bit, few farmers' sons trying to get into a few companies. And I kind of, you know, did I want to join up with a company, kind of fly under them, or did I want to take United Prairie and kind of take ownership of that ourselves? And I decided to go that route. So we bought one drone last year that I strictly use with my intern team doing trials, side-by-sides, just to get the exposure of it, get a different connection and touch point with a grower. And so yeah. I did. I sprayed about 950 acres of side-by-sides, which for us, when I do so much research and trials that I need localized information. So this was another way to do that. As I look into the 2024 growing season, we're adding at least two more, if not four more. Those will probably be more of commercial applicators. I've got an old intern from 2 years ago that's hired full time with us now. She's going to head up one of those spray teams. My incoming intern group's going to help. And it's for us, it's not to look to cannibalize acres, say aerial application, not looking to cannibalize acres that our planes are doing, that our helicopters are doing, but look for that, you know, that unserviced acre, the one around a residential area, the one back in some trees, The one that's just a challenge to really get good coverage on and offer something different to growers that are dealing with those. Because it is East Central Illinois. It's a lot of good flat ground around here, but we still have those obstacles.
Yeah. And then selective spraying, what experience have you guys had and what do you think the opportunity is?
The opportunity I could probably talk to you about for a longer than this podcast is going to be. Last year we demoed one. Our local John Deere dealership, HW, was grateful enough to bring us out one. Let's get some experience with it. And I kind of spent 2-3 days with it, had one of our seasoned operators running it. I think as growers in the industry, a lot of us are looking at it as an opportunity to site-specific spray herbicides. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a very, very small piece of what my vision is for that piece of equipment. We end up purchasing one as a company. We're going to station out of one location, but I mean, Margie, the thing that's a struggle is that there's so many unknowns. You know, the questions, what are you going to charge for it? How many acres are you going to cover? How much do I mix up for a day and send out?
Right. Because what's your tank mix? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and this is something that the industry can't answer these questions. And that's fine because I think for United Prairie and myself, I've always said this and I've always had a goal. Like I want to be 2 years ahead of our competition at the minimum. So we'll figure it out for the industry. And if we can be a leader in that arena, we definitely will be. And this one's going to be quite an undertaking because there's so many unknowns. But I will tell you this, to not go into too much detail because I don't want to because I have my own thoughts, is I think it'll allow us to spray some chemistries again that have maybe caused some issues locally and just giving folks a different kind of a bad taste in their mouth. And I'm excited about that because we're running out of options for weed control.
Yeah. Well said, Kyle. Well said. Well, I'm Thank cheering you. You on and you guys keep us posted on how year one goes. Okay.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Kyle, what's your favorite part of your job?
Oh, the team that I work with is pretty amazing. And the growers that I've obviously worked with, they are a huge part of my life. I unfortunately tell my wife this a lot. You know, sometimes I see and spend time with the growers more than I do her and my two daughters, which is not a good thing. But, you know, when I started for United Prairie, we were 4 locations. Today we are 14. So we in the last 10 years, we have built a lot of locations from the ground up, which is unheard of to some extent. Our mindset, our family oriented atmosphere has never changed. Our newest general manager, which I've not worked for many general managers, but Kurt Miller is our general manager now. He came on 3 years ago. His family had a retail company and the family business. They wanted to join up with somebody and they sold to us. Kurt was a sales manager then all of a sudden, hey, you know, had a GM opportunity. That man runs a tight ship. He's great to work for and he keeps that same family oriented atmosphere that everybody wants to continue to see. I mentioned earlier, I'm not a corporate guy, nothing wrong about corporate, but I like to be able to, if I need to come up with something or make a decision or ask a question, I literally go out right next door, get the answer right then and there.
Excellent. So we are talking to Kyle Meese. He's an agronomy manager at United Prairie, and we will be back after this message from our sponsor. And for today's industry spotlight, we have Jared Walls. He is Market Development Specialist at Corteva. Jared, share a little bit with me as far as pest pressures from 2023 and how that's carrying over into 2024.
Hey, Marty, thanks for having me. On a high level in the Southeast, I think one of the groups that are most commonly managed for insects are the foliage and pod feeding caterpillars. They get on a wide variety of crops. They come all throughout the summer. These pests have historically and will continue to show up in many peanut and soybean fields across the Southeast. The question is how many will show up? And so I think that's why scouting is important. I feel like in 24, moving into it, depending on how the year turns out, these will continue to be a problem.
So with this known threat, with scouting procedures, what other tips do you have for growers to prepare for insect pressure this year?
Yeah, sure. Outside of scouting, some questions that I like to ask is what caterpillar pests are present? We know that in areas, corn earworms, tobacco budworms, soybean loopers, a lot of these insects are becoming resistant to a lot of products like pyrethroids. So making sure that you know what insects are in the field so you can determine what chemical you need to spray. Another tip is, what crop stage is the crop at? What environmental conditions are out there, and are they conducive to secondary pests? There's a lot of beneficials out in the field. They play a very important role in keeping these pests down. There's a lot of broad spectrum insecticides on the market that are harmful to these beneficials. Product like Intrepid Edge, very safe on beneficials, especially on peanuts, for example. Spider mites become a big issue when you wipe out those beneficial insects. The third point that I would make is, how do the products work? The most common question that I get is related to soybean loopers. They can be a big problem. They feed deep in the canopy. So a lot of these contact insecticides don't really work well. So a product, again, like Intrepid Edge, it's been studied extensively. It contains two modes of action that have an ingestion and a contact activity. So it'll get those pests on contact and leave residuals in the plants for those feeding in the plant.
You can also find information at Corteva.us. Thank you to Jared Walls, Market Development Specialist at Corteva, for joining us for this Industry Spotlight. Welcome back to the Scoop Podcast and our conversation with Kyle Meese, Agronomy Manager at United Prairie. So Kyle, kind of sum up the past growing season. So how was 2023? What's the big takeaway you're taking into 2024?
2023 was challenging. And I've got to give a presentation a couple of weeks at our big winter meeting. And I gave one last week. The common theme in questions I heard is, I don't know where this came from in regards to yield in the end. How did we do this? You know, we were fortunate. We started off very, very dry. I actually had a farm of my own that we planted, and it was the last field we planted, and we got in some dry conditions, and it went 52 days without rain, and that corn never emerged till 52 days later. It tells you the dryness and pockets that we had, but in the end, I've talked to a lot of growers, probably raised some of the best overall bean averages that they ever have. And corn was not what 2022 was, but it was good. And it was very good and very surprising. So what do you learn from that? You know, one of the things I noticed a lot of guys ask me, like, man, these crops are short. And it's funny, as we still try to understand the architecture of plants and the growing and just the general crop growth and development, is like, that plant was smart enough to put on more root growth than it was vegetative growth. It made itself more efficient. So how can I capitalize on that going forward? Because for me, as a farmer myself, as an agronomist, it's always, I want to see the deepest, darkest, greenest plant, big leaves, big stalk, and that's fine. But if I don't have that foundation, what I call the basement of the plant built, which is the root system, then I can't sustain what the items that I may recommend or throw out at the rest of the season. So for myself and individuals in the industry, I talk to you on a regular basis. It's like, what we need to understand better is what's going on in a zone that we can't physically see, which is, again, that crop basement beneath the soil profile. So I mean, that's my focus for 2024. It's like, 2023 was great. We're still marketing grain right now, but I got to focus on 24, and I'm already focusing on 25. I mean, I said I want to be at least 2 years ahead of our competition. I got to be forward thinking enough to bring our sales team, to bring our management team, all those little bits and pieces that we need to try first and foremost here, so that we're prepared when it becomes, when it goes to market.
Yeah. So Kyle, you were named to our latest class of 40 under 40, an award program sponsored by our friends at New Farm. So thank you to them, and congratulations to you.
Thank you very much. Everyone keeps giving me crap. I just made it because I'm 39. So it was a surprise to me. I didn't even realize I'd been nominated by some of my peers. And I was grateful that I ended up getting a 40 under 40 about 3 years ago locally here. Nice. So it's a good feeling.
There you go. Well, you're ending your 30s with a high note. So, hey, I'm curious, what words would you share with other folks who are in the early chapters of their career in ag retail? Oh,
dedication. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, and fortunately, as I take on our intern program and I get to work with a lot of young men and women, I see a difference in how they perform, their mindset, what they're looking at. And sometimes I just don't see, I don't want to say I don't see the dedication, but I feel like the work ethic is not the same. And I would continue to strive hard and recommend to those young men and women to continue to strive hard and shoot for your goals. But at the same time, don't ever forget about your family and what's made you and your customers, because if you want to be successful, you'll put your mind to it and you'll work as hard as you possibly can. And sometimes other things get shadowed in the background, and I'm speaking from experience, and you can't get those times back. So there's a balance you all have to find and adapt to and have that at your forefront. But being dedicated, hard work, honest, I mean, that's the biggest, that's the most fun. When I can farm myself and go and have conversations with growers, be honest, I tell guys all the time, guys, if I'm not going to use it on my own operation, why am I going to come out here and recommend it to you? I'm not going to. Honesty is everything. Those relationships as well are something that you can't ever get back, and you will use them throughout the rest of your life.
Yep. I'm picking up a theme here, which is setting a strong foundation, and whether that be with your corn crop or with your career. So thank you Mark, for that reflection.
I'm going to use that. My use big winter it. Meeting, it's coming up. It might be, it's going to probably be in there.
Just tell everybody to listen to the Scoop podcast, please.
I can absolutely do that.
So, hey, we wrap up each episode with kind of three lightning round questions. Okay.
Oh,
so
no.
The first one is, what is the most used app on your phone?
Facebook Marketplace.
Honesty is appreciated. Okay. Yes,
now it didn't used to be. It used to be Twitter.
So, Kyle, what is one prediction you can make for the 24 growing season?
One prediction I can make for the 2024 growing season. It's going to be different than 2023.
And then if you had the magic wizard wand and could solve one problem, what are you waving the wand and solving?
One problem in farming or one problem overall?
I'll take however you want to answer it.
You know, my mind is so agronomic driven all the time that I want us as growers to continue to be sustainable. And I know that's a hot button word throughout this whole industry, but sustainability is important, and to continue to look at things differently. How I did business 17 years ago versus how I'm looking at what we're going to do going forward is going to be different. And open-mindedness is important. And I hope growers continue to see that. I hope agronomists see that and they're willing to, you know, adopt change, be open to change and figure out how to implement it from an industry-wide standpoint.
No, excellent. So Kyle, congratulations again on being named to the 40 under 40 for the Scoop. If folks want to follow along with your journey and the story going on at United Prairie, where can they find you online or on social media?
So on the X now, since it's no longer Twitter, at MeesUP Agronomy is my handle there. They can visit our website at www.unitedprairiellc.com. You can follow United Prairie on Twitter, on Facebook. Our social media team does a great job continuing to try to push information out there, and information that's the right information, things you want to look at and read and take interest in.
Excellent. Well, thank you to Kyle, and thank you to all of our listeners. I'm signing off as editor of the Scoop, Margie Eckelkamp. Before we go, I would encourage all of you to give us a 5-star review. If you are listening to this podcast on our website, load up your favorite podcast player, click the subscribe or follow button, and you'll get all the latest episodes delivered directly to you. Thank you all so much for listening, and I wish a safe and productive season for everyone.